Does this picture looks familiar to you? Looks like Pearson Airport. By the way, I did not take the picture because I'm not allowed to use, cameras in the immigration area. When you look at this picture, I think many of you are thinking, wow, what would be so wonderful? It would be a wonderful time, to travel, right? Like Ryan and Leah also are traveling. We will be saying, this is a wonderful time to travel, right? You'll see a lot of families taking a break from their routine and traveling overseas and having a wonderful moment. I was reading several articles and I realized this month is a busy month for travelers, right? In Canada, many of them are trying to limit their travel within the country itself. Quite a number of them are taking road trips. Only a slight percentage of people are wanting to be taking a long international trip. I was looking at a search engine, a Kayak. It says there has been 77% increase in people just looking for good deals. They want to go to a dream destination and spend some time over there and even unwinding themselves. I believe all of us love to travel. It might be in Canada, right, or even overseas. My family and I also took a travel, right? We traveled to Asia, in some countries in Asia too. The psalm that we are looking today, it's also about travel. This traveler is writing a journal, and in his travel, he's talking, the journey he's having. And his journey is a very wonderful journey. If you look at the psalm very carefully, he wants to be in the house of the Lord. He sees that his journey to the Jerusalem temple to worship God is not only a spiritual pilgrimage, but it is an important moment in his life. I think all of us know that three times in a year, if Jews, particularly men who are living in a certain area away from temple, they expected to be coming to Jerusalem three times a year to meet God, and it's a wonderful time for them. Now, when I look at this particular passage, I believe it's not just for them alone, but for each and every one of us. When we embrace this Christian faith, when we see Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we too are on a spiritual journey or a pilgrimage, my friend. And see, all of us are traveling. When you look at the psalm very carefully, I know many of you, when you plan for your destination, you're so excited, right? You're thinking, you're making a lot of plans, this is the place we should be staying, or this is the villa we should book, these are the kinds of food, we should be eating, we should enjoy every moment, these are the parks that we should visit, or these are the sites that we should go. And this is the way you see a lot of excitement in this particular psalm. Three stanzas, right? I'm not going to look at the three stanzas, but today I just wanted to focus on one particular stanza. He talks about, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord, right? My soul yearns, even faints. And he says, my heart strongly desires to be in your place, and I just long to be at your place. And then in verse 3, you see he's very envious about the sparrow. He says, even the sparrow have found a home in the temple, the swallow a nest for herself. He says, Lord, I go to your court, or even to the outer court to worship you, but the sparrows, they are insignificant, they are tiny ones. Even people don't look at them. They are allowed to make a home in the temple. They can make her nest, the swallow a nest for herself. And so he looks at them and he says, Lord, I'm so envious because these insignificant creatures, they have the privilege to make a nest for themselves. And he says, Lord, I desire. We desire to be in a on holidays. We desire, we make plans. We want to go to certain place. And then the third stanza, when you look at the third stanza, you know, he finally reaches. He says, Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Right? Finally, he has made the trip and he rejoices. But if you look at the psalm very carefully, the bulk of the verses is about the journey that he's making. I think that is the difficult part. It's one thing, you know, to desire. It's one thing, you know, yes, I have dreams. I want to travel to this country or to this place or to this particular national park. It's another thing, right? It's also almost the same thing when you reach the place, you're so excited, you know what to do. But the main thing, the important part, the hardest part is making the journey. I remember traveling, right? My family and I were coming, but I came first earlier because I was required to be here. I took a flight which, including transit time, was 27 hours. Right, I flew to Korea. From Korea, I flew to New York, and then to Toronto. Let me tell you, it was, you know, not was easy. You need to go through, you know, customs, immigration, right? And when you're in the plane, I was not in the first class, by the way. I was in the economy class, almost to the back, right? There was a lot of turbulence that was happening. You do not know who is going to sit beside you, right? And you almost served the last. And then, you know, there's a lot of... And then going into New York, you know, it was a different challenge altogether. You clear customs again. You change the terminal to another terminal. You know, but then... That's the difficult part, right? That's sometimes it can become an ordeal for us. But then the psalmist says, in verse 7, he says, they go from strength to strength. What happens? You know, what he is saying, you know, Lord, you know, I start my journey with strength. I don't get tired. I don't get frustrated. But he says, I go from strength to strength. So each and every moment, each and every point of my journey, I feel that there is an extra strength in my life. That's the way the psalmist looks. So when I look at this passage very carefully, you know, he talks about our Christian journey. We start by saying, Lord, I embrace you as my Savior and Lord. Wonderful. And we know heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and praise. But the Christian journey can be the hardest part. So how do we grow from strength to strength? Because there are moments, you know, you feel that you want to give up. You want to give up, right? It can be tiring. There will be a lot of anxiety. You do not know what is going to happen next. But how do we go from strength to strength? I think that's where, you know, the writer of this particular psalm is saying. And he encourages us, and I just want to dwell only on these two verses, 5-7. The first principle, he says, how troubles are temporary but necessary. The troubles that we face are temporary, but they are necessary. Look at the verse again. It says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose heart are set on pilgrimage. In other words, they are so excited about their pilgrimage. But then in verse 6, he says, as they pass through the valley of Baca. And when you look at the word very carefully, he's talking about a place. Some scholars say, you know, it's a difficult place. You know, it's a hard ground. It's a hard place. Some scholars say they do not know where this location is. But when you look at the Hebrew word very carefully, right, Baca means tears. In other words, he starts off his journey well. He's so excited. The roads are wonderful. But then as he goes along, he comes to a particular area where he is exhausted. You know, there's no more water for him to drink. He's thirsty. But very interestingly, this place called the Valley of Baca, there are certain trees. And you will see almost like tears of, you know, tears like water, but they are not. You want to drink. You want to have a drink, but they are not. Can you imagine? But this is the roughest place, you know, the most difficult part that the person is having. Some scholars say, you know, it is a place where, you know, the worshippers of Baal would sacrifice small children on the altars of the fire. So it symbolizes difficulty, heartache, and even pain and suffering. You know, most of the travelers in those days didn't want to go through this valley. But whether you like it or not, you have to go through the valley of Baca. When you fly, you don't like turbulence, right? The light turbulence are fine. But severe ones, you know, you are deprived of any food. They don't even serve you. You can't go to the washroom. And you do not know what is going to happen next. Right? It can be a difficult experience for you. But whether we like it or not, there are moments in our life we can't avoid turbulence. There are moments we feel that our prayers are not answered. There are moments we feel, you know, life is becoming meaningless. Christian walk is becoming discouraged. Or maybe we feel, you know, this doesn't make any sense to me. But whether the Jewish people like it or not, they have to go through that particular Baca. David started the service by saying, right, in our country, there are people who are going through difficult times because of what's happening in the country, particularly the economy and all that. Maybe we're going through a financial crisis in our families. We do not know what to do in terms of decision, in terms of priorities. Should I change my plans? Should I do this? Should I do that? Things started well, but I do not know why we are facing this. But whether we like it or not, you know, there are moments in our life we experience the valley of Baca, my friend. We need to go through it. But one thing I like about this particular passage, it says in verse 6, look at the word very carefully, as they pass through. In other words, this is not a permanent place of suffering. In other words, it is not, you know, I'm not going to be there permanently. I'm not going to build houses permanently. I'm just passing through. There are moments in my life I will have this turbulence, these difficulties, these challenges, but it's not going to be permanent. As believers, we know someday for sure we will be in the house of the Lord forever rejoicing. You know, the writer of this particular psalm is saying that, you know, it is not just a season alone, but our journey itself, there are turbulence. And each and every moment, we have some kind of turbulence that's happening. Maybe there are minor ones you don't feel, but the major ones you feel. There are minor things that you can handle with your limited strength that you have, with the knowledge or wisdom that you have. But the greater turbulence, you have difficulties. So the author is saying, throughout the journey of life, we have turbulence. It might be mild, you don't feel it, you can manage it. It might be medium, you know, you can still manage it with some help and all that. Greater turbulence, you do not know what to do. But whether we like it or not, we will have, they are necessary, but they are temporary. I think that's what the word of God is telling us, right? They are necessary, but they are temporary. I was sharing with you about my coming back to Toronto. Let me tell you, I was telling my wife, she was with me almost like the time I left Singapore, and I reached Toronto 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so it's 4 a.m. in Singapore. I didn't like the experience. It was really difficult for me. Particularly when I was, you know, going to my final transit point was New York. When I landed in New York, you know, I had a very limited transition time to catch a flight. Within 1.5 hours, I was supposed to catch that next flight back to Toronto. I don't want to miss the flight. When I came, the immigration was so long, I didn't know what to do. I asked people for help. Then you are supposed to get your luggage, and then I realized when I was trying to get my luggage, it was caught in between with other luggages. You know, the belt was moving, and someone came and helped me. Then I was told that, you know, I have to get out of the building, get into a bus, take a bus to the next terminal, which I did. I was happy. I've said, you know, I'm almost there. Then I realized, you know, the machine did not recognize my passport, because Singapore passport is the world's best passport. Maybe it did not recognize. So I was, you know, standing in the queue. I was talking to my wife. You know, it was around 2 a.m. For her. And then there was a security line. It was long, and I was telling myself, I don't want to miss this flight, because if I miss my flight, probably I do not know what will happen to my luggage, right? And you know what happens to luggages here. And so even I started speaking to some people and saying, can I, because I have a limited time, they said, sorry, there's no privilege given to anyone. So I went. And then I'm supposed to go to my gate. And I realized, you know, it's going to be a long walk. So the lady with whom I showed my ticket, she said, oh, that is going to be a long walk for you. I do not know whether you can manage. She said, why don't you go down? You know, you catch this particular bus. It will bring you. Finally, I reach my gate. You know, I have to pass through. I can't change. I'm not a diplomat to change, but I have to pass through. It was almost like an ordeal for me. But, you know, what do I do with all these things? I think the psalmist is saying, the next part, you make your valleys into springs. In other words, he says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. In other words, whatever experience that they have journeying along, they look at things differently. It becomes a place of spring for them. It becomes a place where they can be refreshed, my friend. It's how you look at all these things. How do you interpret the experiences in your life? And that's what they come here. It's a trying place. It's a place they don't want to be. But then they make it into a place of spring. That's what it says. In other words, it's a place they can refresh themselves. It's a place they can say, you know, I can unwind myself. Today, when I was looking at this particular passage, I was asking myself, how do I look at the experience that I had? I can be very critical. I can be very bitter. I can even say, I'm not going to take a flight that goes via the U.S., a country which I like to, right? But how do I make the experiences? How do I look at the experiences? I was reading a story about two men who were hospitalized. One of them was just sleeping by the window. The other guy's bed was by the hallway. So the guy was sleeping by the window, you know, he will look outside, he will try looking outside, and he will smile. He was becoming more cheerful. The guy was sleeping inside the door hallway. He was very frustrated, because the more he sees him, he's so excited, so cheerful, you know, where else I'm here. And he was praying within himself, you know, someday this guy should be gone, so I will be there. I think his prayers was answered. The guy who was sleeping by the window, he got discharged, went back home. So this guy was given the privilege to sleep by the window. With the limited strength that he had, right, he tried looking out. You know what he saw? He saw another wall. It was another wall. It is how you look at the wall. It is how you look at the experiences that you have. It can become an opportunity for you, or it can become an obstacle for you. They saw, they went through the valley of Baca, and they saw the experience as an opportunity, a learning time. They can learn, they can experience. And it says, because they look at things in a very positive way, trusting God, what happened? Right? It says, the autumn rains also cover it with pots. In other words, very interesting word in the Hebrew text. It means the autumn rain is always given by God. Now, God gave them the rain. He made it possible for them to go through, and they were refreshed in their journey. The autumn rain, the source of the blessing was God, and he was the one who was just giving the blessings. I was telling you about my trip back. My wife knows, you know, I told her everything. You know, I was really frustrated when I was going through the ordeal. Maybe it's a strong word, but I didn't like it because I was having a limited time. But then finally I got into the plane flying me to Toronto. They gave us a bottle of water with some snacks. I sat down and I took some time to reflect on my the 1.5 hours of transit time, the things that took place. For a moment I was very frustrated. I even told my wife, I'm not going to come via US. But then for a moment I looked at it, I said, let me look at it in a very different way. And I realized how God has been actually working. When I came to the immigration, there was literally almost like 100 people standing. I spoke to a lady. She said, fine, I'll put you to the express lane. And there was someone who helped me, I do not know. I told you about the luggage. It was caught in between with other luggages in the belt. I didn't have the strength to pull. A guy came, much more bigger, tougher than me. He helped. Because at that point of time, I didn't recognize. When I was in the bus, frustrated, I saw a family having the same passport like me, Singapore passport. I started a conversation with them. And they told me they are going to Mississauga. Their families are there. So it lightened me for a while. And then when I was, I got my boarding pass, and the lady who told me it's going to be a long walk, she said, you can go down. There was a bus that will take you there. And I finally reached. Then I told myself, God had been so wonderful. He placed people for me. Right? At that point of time, I was really frustrated. But I think God, in His own way and grace, not only allowed, but yet people. So I took time as I was flying back. I told my wife to thank God for these people. Even the Singapore family just had a conversation for me. So it was something totally different we were talking about. Nothing about the experience I was having. I think that's how God knows. Our valleys can become springs. It depends on how we look at it. Because the word says, they make it a place. In other words, you and I can make it a valley of difficulty. You can make it a place of spring. And when we make it a place of spring, you see the autumn rain covers, helps you. At the same time, I must also say my wife was actually not sleeping. You can ask her, she was not sleeping. It was 4 a.m. till I reached Toronto at 4 p.m. here. And finally, she was also praying. So someone was praying for me there throughout the night, hoping that, praying that I will safely reach this particular place. The psalmist says, not only this incident, he talks about it in Psalm 107. He turned the desert into pools of water. Right? And in Isaiah 41, he says, God says, I will give you them fountains of water in the valley. I will fill the desert with pools of water. rivers fed by springs will flow across the parched ground. That's the God, my friend. When we look at the way, you know, God leads us and say, Lord, I recognize your faithfulness. We see God is so wonderful. So valleys can become springs in how we look at our experiences. And lastly, let me close. He says, start relying on God's promises. He said, they go from strength to strength. When you start walking, what happens? You go for a jog. You start afresh with a lot of energy, right? You're so excited. But in between the walk or in between the run, you become tired, exhausted. You're just waiting, right, to reach your destination. But the word here in the Hebrew text is a different word altogether. In other words, you know, you have more strength. Every moment, you see one victory, another victory. You achieve because God has given, right, the victory, and then you are able to face another challenge. In other words, your strength increases. That's what he says. They go from strength to strength, from victory to another victory, my friend, till they appear before God in Zion. In other words, they're progressing in their journey. They're progressing in their faith. They're progressing in their love for God. Nothing can stop them. They are in fire for God because they have learned to trust God. In verse 12, you read, right? He says, because I trusted in you. They did not trust man. The psalmist say, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust man. Today, you and I can build up our faith. We can be strengthened. Right, as Paul writes to this young minister by saying, we can be strengthened by God's grace. We need God's grace. And the strength that he's talking here, it's about not about our human strength, but divine strength, my friend. It's not about our strength. It's God who gives us the strength. And it's only God's grace can strengthen us. I think each and every moment we should pray, Lord, I need your grace. I need your help, oh God. I need your favor. I need you, Lord, to come along with me. I realize that God is only possible through your grace, not through my strength. That's what Paul encourages. And then in Romans, Paul also writes about Abraham. He said, but he was strengthened in his faith. Not only we need God's grace, but he was strengthened in his faith. In other words, he was building his faith. He trusted God, my friend. He was just leaning on to God. I think we need to ask God, Lord, strengthen my faith. Today we face a lot of challenges, right? We need to be strengthened in the battle against evil. A lot of things that we face in life. I was reading a story about a man who, you know, he was walking across Canada. So he was going through the mountains and, you know, finally he reached his destination. So people asked him, you know, you face a lot of different kinds of landscape, rough ones, mountains, you know, and valleys and all that. What was the greatest obstacle, they asked? He said, these were not my greatest obstacles. He said, my obstacles were the sand in my shoes. The sand in my shoes was really troubling me. Not the outside, not the valleys, not the mountains, not the rough roads, the hard ground, but the sand, the fine sand inside my shoes were troubling me. They were a pain to me. It is hidden, it is small, but it can stop us from having a journey for God, my friend. The small sins, the small struggles too. And that's what he says. And so, you know, Satan doesn't come and hit us with big challenges, small things in our life, because he knows those small things actually can stop us. drawing strength from God. And so that's what the psalmist is encouraging us today. All of us are on a pilgrimage, a spiritual pilgrimage. All of us are in a journey. Yes, we are in a journey and we face different challenges in our life. Different point in our life, my friend. Some turbulence might be very light. Maybe studies might be your turbulence, or your work area might be having some slight turbulence. But they are necessary, but they are temporary. But how do you see them? How do you interpret them? How do you look at them? Do you see them as an opportunity? Do you see them as an obstacle? Do you see and tell yourself, you know, nothing is stopping me from fulfilling what God has planned in my life. I want to reach Jerusalem. I want to reach the purpose that God has have for me. And you see the autumn rains coming, which is given by God, my friend. As we go through, you know, Christian walk becomes much more stronger, much more firmer, right? We can face with a lot of endurance. We can face whatever comes. I remember when I was in Sunday school as a small boy, they teach us this song. Some of you might know this song. With Christ in the vessel, we will smile at the storm. With Christ in the vessel, we smile at the storm as we go sailing home. I learned it when I was a kid, but it still rings in my life, right? With Christ in the vessel, I can smile. But today we need to ask ourselves, is Christ in your vessel? Only when Christ is in your vessel, you can smile. You can smile. Let's pray. All of us are on a journey. When we started our life or our career, our families, or even our education, we tell ourselves, no, I want to achieve this. This is my dream. This is who I want to be. Or this is where I should be in my Christian walk. But then we face turbulence. Sometimes it can be very subtle. It can be a very minor turbulence. We can manage them. But there are certain turbulences, certain difficulties. It can dampen your faith, or you can make your faith much more deeper in Christ. Do you see that as an opportunity for growth? Do you see that God is allowed certain things, wanting you to learn, wanting you to change your priority, wanting you to change your route altogether? Or do we become bitter, frustrated? We start listening to the voice of God. The autumn rain refreshes us. God sees our journey, my friend. He knows when to send the autumn rain. You want to go from strength to strength? Is your life becoming, Christian walk becoming tired, boring, stressed, not excited? We need God's strength. With our own strength, we can't achieve the joy and the peace. It's only Christ. Maybe this should be a prayer this week. Lord, help me, Lord, to seek your grace. Help me, Lord, to strengthen my faith. Help me, Lord, to even deal with a small sin, the small fine sands in our shoes that stops us from walking further. Help us. Thank you, Lord, that we can call upon you. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray.